If you don't know Louis Anderson from Louis C.K., Charlie Chaplin from Tina Fey, Don Rickles from Nichols and May, if you feel confused and you don't know who to ask, I've got your new favorite podcast. 'Cause they're nerds, nerds about comedy. Justin and Dan, they are uncommonly knowledgeable about S&M. Kids in the Hall and Saved by the Bell. They're nerds, nerds about funny stuff. Stand up and sketch, they just can't get enough. Tell all your friends, go tell your mama she should drop everything. Listen to the Comedy Nerds.
Well, hello there. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Dusty Adams.
And this is Jeopardy. No. This is the Comedy Nerds. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. This week we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff that's going on in the news.
Yeah, after a very slow news summer, we are now... There's so much news, we're going all news today, baby.
We are the CNN.
Wall-to-wall news, yeah.
Comedy Nerds News, CNN.
Yeah. I consider you to be the Pierce Morgan.
Oh, thank you. And I consider you to be the Pierce Morgan.
Thank you.
Of the Comedy Nerds. So we have two Pierce Morgans.
I like to think of myself as more of a Soledad O'Brien.
Okay. I'll tell you why I hate Pierce Morgan.
Why?
Because his name isn't Pierce. It's Pierce. And that really bugs the crap out of me. Because I thought his name was Pierce.
Yeah.
Until about a month ago when I looked at his name and I was like, oh, wait, your name is like if there were two Pierce. That's what? That's not a name. Your name just can't be Landings O'Brien. You weirdo. why does that make me mad? Think about it.
No, anytime somebody's just like, I'm going to make my name go by different rules than other names.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, no.
Well, you can't just be the plural version of a regular noun and just have that be your name.
That's true.
That's dumb.
Because I find Dustin to be an annoying name for myself.
Yes.
But if my name was Dustings.
Yeah.
Then
exactly.
Then fuck me.
Even you know? That doesn't make sense because that's a noun. I mean, that's a verb.
Yeah.
That then you, all right, never mind. Anyway.
But yeah, point is, I would hate myself if my name was Dustings, so he should hate himself for his name being Pierce.
I think he does. I think you can see it in his eyes.
Okay.
He hates the fact that his name is so stupid, and he hates that he's inflicting.
If
that
only,
on the world.
If only in the entertainment world you could change your name and people wouldn't notice. But you're so tied to that name.
I mean, nobody has ever thought of that, to change your name to make themselves better. I don't know. He's British, so that's another reason why.
Because everybody made fun of Lady Gaga's parents when they named their kid Lady.
Yeah.
But
look,
it was appropriate.
Now.
Yeah.
They were like, listen, Mr. and Ms. Gaga, we don't like the name of your daughter.
Why would you name your kid Lady?
She better go get famous. Otherwise,
and they were like, I'll give you one more. We were gonna name the kid Wadey if it was a boy too.
Yeah,
we just decided on the name Lady. So thank God it turned out to be a girl.
I had a dog named Lady. Okay, let's talk about some news. Tyler Perry,
yes,
exists in a universe that I don't understand,
right?
But this universe is very profitable.
It is the most lucrative universe that a person on the planet can be.
He apparently made more money than anyone else in show business between May 2010 and May 2011.
Yeah.
With $130 million came into his the pockets of his house coat that he wears when he plays an old lady in movies that I don't understand.
Right.
But somebody likes him.
So think about your favorite entertainer in the world.
Done. Piers Morgan.
If Tyler Perry had that guy's amount of money, he would shoot himself in the face.
You lost me. So you're saying that Tyler Perry would be so upset that he had so little money?
Yes.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I don't know if he'd shoot himself
he would.
In the face.
He would.
But take your favorite.
Because Tyler Perry is now
pre-depression era
rich.
Okay.
So that if he went from his salary to CNN host salary,
right,
it would be like the people jumping out of the buildings during, you know,
I could see that
during the stock market crash.
What I was gonna say was, take your favorite entertainer of all time.
Okay.
What he makes in a year,
yeah,
or she makes in a year, give that to Tyler Perry, and Tyler Perry doesn't notice,
right,
is what I'm trying to say. is that that literally he has so much money that he wouldn't notice that extra money would just kind of be sitting there, you know, not doing anything.
At what point do you go, you know what? I think I'm going to stop dressing like an old lady. You know, like,
I don't know.
I have my $150 million.
Right.
I think I'm good now.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to put on the wig and the fake boobs anymore.
I know. And yet I don't think he would ever stop. Right? That seems
probably
to be,
not.
How many movies are there, like ballpark, where he's dressed as an old lady?
43.
No, but they're not all Madea, are they? Are they all Madea?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
Okay. No, because I think it is something like in the 40s of the number of movies he's produced.
Yeah.
But I think like only like 10 or 15 are of the Madea, right? That's still a large number of
Madea based, yeah.
Because even before he was famous, now if you like, you know, go on Netflix or whatever, you'll see the Tyler Perry collection, which is from like the early
aughts. Here's the bonus of being a Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
When you do a Madea movie,
Because
so many of them were originally based on his plays and things like that, because they were based on his plays, they are so house-driven because you don't have multiple sets.
Yeah.
So they're all family, hanging out, kind of stuff like that. So you can crank out tons of Madea movies because that's the basic idea, that they always happen in essentially the same place. So you shoot it over the course of like a month,
right?
For almost no money, and then it's just pure profit.
But it's also weird to me that he is the most profitable, and I'm talking, this is just from my point of view.
Yeah.
He's the most profitable entertainer in show business for all those ads on the subway that I kind of vaguely notice, and they always seem to be the same exact movie.
Right.
So that's weird. What I'm trying to say is that he, I don't know. I guess he just has a devoted following that's so, you know, crazy devoted to him that they'll just give him money for anything. But it still just seems like if you're the most highly paid entertainer, shouldn't you have like a broad base? He seems to be more so niche that almost like crazy niche.
Well, I just think I think it's one of those things where you don't notice because you're not in the niche.
Right. No.
You know what I mean? Like, again, when I was a little kid and I was when I was younger, I was watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Sure.
Which I loved.
Yeah.
I was under the impression that everyone watched it.
Yeah.
Because everyone I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what I was talking about. Nobody watched that show. Like, statistically, nobody watched that show.
Right.
So, I think, but I mean, they did fine. They have this cult status or whatever. So, I think it's the same thing with Tyler Perry. It's like, really, if you just hit one market and you crush it,
right,
it's great. And you have to give it to the guy. He produces a lot of content.
Right.
If you,
he's making like 2 movies a year or something.
Yeah. But it's not just movies. Like, anything on TBS that is not Conan O'Brien is Tyler Perry.
He's got two shows.
Yeah.
We
talked about it last year. When they picked up Are We There Yet?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't pick it up for a few episodes. They picked it up for 100 episodes. 100 episodes.
Yeah.
That is an insane amount of episodes to order. And that's how they do it. So he got in with a place where he's like, look, I can make these things for fucking nothing.
Yeah.
So why don't you just order 100 of them?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be good for a while.
Right.
You don't have to worry about your programming.
Yeah.
And I will buy another gold house. So I guess if we tie it back to the podcast, what is important, the message here is, if you can find your niche.
Yeah.
Beat the shit out of it.
Well, that's the thing. I think a lot of people find their niche, but he's just within that niche, he literally has every single person in that category. Like, but I mean, like, you know, like, let's say Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, okay, nerd, you know, young nerds watch it. But not every young nerdy guy watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Right.
Like, literally every single person in Tyler Perry's category he got them all. Like, like, it was like Pokemon. He got them all. He literally has every single one of them. $130 million.
Right. Because there's...
Guy dresses up in a wig. And a house code, $130 million.
Because there's not enough people aiming at that audience.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. When it comes down to it. Anyway, moving on to our next
story. I was going to say, speaking of TBS, TBS has bought a pilot from Conan O'Brien. So maybe things aren't as dire as they seemed a few weeks ago. And we talked about the fact that Conan O'Brien's ratings are down. Maybe TBS is happy with it. You know, maybe they're like, hey, it's a rough patch, or maybe this, they were like, this is what we were getting into. We knew it, you know, We knew what we were getting.
Yeah. My opinion has always been that TBS is just like, is happy that people know who they are when baseball's not on.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only time I'm even aware that TBS is a thing is during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I mean, now I know, like, Conan and stuff like that. But before, I'd occasionally see a promo for My Boys. And that was it.
The description of the show. He is a family man. He quits his job and returns to his old neighborhood where he reconnects with his former best friend. You know.
Yeah.
Sounds like an aspirational show for guys roughly our age.
Aspirational? But he quits his job and moves home.
Well, maybe not aspirational.
I don't aspire to quit my job and move home.
But there are times when I'm like, man, I kind of want to go back to being, you know, a young moron again that had no responsibility. So I sort of, you know, dream of like, well, what if I just told everyone, fuck you, and went back and lived with my parents and just hung out with my friends like I used to.
Get my old PlayStation back and just sit in the basement and play video games until like 4 a.m.
And just pretend it's 1999 all over again.
Yeah.
And I'll just play that Prince song constantly and it's going to be a great time. So, So maybe TBS still like, Conan, don't worry about it. We're in your corner. Everything's gonna be fine.
Or maybe it just happens to be Conan's company that is pitching it.
Yeah, I mean it is. You know, and maybe they just like the pilot.
Yeah.
But
I don't assume that Conan's at every one of those meetings.
No, I don't think so. But I mean, I think it still says something that they're willing to, you know, say, we'll give you even more money.
I like to think that it's more of a blackmail thing. Okay. Where he goes in and goes, look, pick up the pilot.
Yeah.
Or I'm really going to stop. I am going to phone this thing in like you couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
And then now you're double screwed. So pick up my show.
Right.
Well, what are you going to put?
It kind of be like.
You already canceled Lopez.
Right.
You got nothing.
It's like a mafia like extortion of just like, oh, you got a nice network here. Be a shame if I, you know, ruined it for you.
Yeah.
If I just, totally destroyed
and
it.
And just fucking Craig Kilborn just sitting in the corner going, I'll do it. And they're like, shut up, Craig.
Yeah, please.
The adults are talking right now.
How did you get in here? Seriously. Security, can we get him out of here? And he's like, are you going to eat that cruller? Because, all right, I'll just go.
Come on, I will snark for almost no money.
At some point a few days ago, there was a promo about the Back to the Future Nikes, the self-lacing, glowing Back to the Future Nikes.
Right.
Everyone gets all excited.
Yeah.
Turns out not so much.
Yeah.
They're releasing 1,500, I believe.
Yeah.
Prototypes. And I'm sorry, I'll let you guys do it, Dustin.
Yeah.
They light up. They do not self-lace. Come on. And they're saying 2015. Oh no, we'll get to the self-lacing. What? Come on, Nike. Let's do this. I will say this. All proceeds go to the Michael J. Fox fighting Parkinson's thing, whatever.
Yeah.
So fine, I guess it's a good cause. But I want to put on shoes. I want them to lace, then I want to get on a hoverboard. And I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think it's too much to ask.
I agree.
Okay.
I could not agree more. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
You and I have been waiting a really long time for the future to happen.
Yeah.
We've been in the present.
Right.
We've been in the past.
Yeah.
We've never been in the future.
That's so true.
And somebody told us, hey, guess what?
Future's coming.
Future is tomorrow.
Yeah.
You've officially gotten there, around the corner.
Congrats.
Our flying cars and all that stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everything is going to be great. Mm-hmm. You're going to eat your dinner that's a pill, and it's going to fill you up.
Yep.
And you're going to start wearing clothes that are just sort of one color that zip up in the middle, and it's going to be a great time.
Yeah. Silver jumpsuit.
Right. Nothing now.
No.
Now I'm stuck with a fucking present. What am I going to do with the present?
Nothing.
The same bullshit I did yesterday.
Yeah.
But if the future was here, yay.
Yeah. No, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I don't know what to say.
And we're pretty much, if I remember this correctly, we're in the future that Back to the Future said we were supposed to be in, aren't we?
Wait, what do you mean? Not yet. He goes to 2015.
He goes to 2015?
Yeah.
Okay.
2015.
So we still have a little bit of time.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing.
We got a lot of shit that we got to do before that.
That was the thing. So they were like, okay, the shoes light up. You also have to charge them, which I guess that makes sense. I guess.
Yeah. You know what? Fucking 5-year-olds have shoes that light up right now.
Yeah.
They walk on them and they step on them and they light up.
Well, yeah. They light up a little differently, these ones. But But, you know, and they look like them, and they're saying the self-lacing is going to come. But, yeah, I don't know. It's a big disappointment, if I'm being honest about it. Hey, when I was in elementary school,
yeah,
Back to the Future 2 came out. This is the only conspiracy theory that I've ever genuinely believed in.
Okay.
There was a rumor that hoverboards totally existed.
I remember that.
And that they used them for the movie. And then the government didn't want it getting out, though, because they thought they were too dangerous. So they lied and said that it was just a special effect. But they were totally real, and they used them in the movie. Now, I completely believe that, A.
Yes.
And B, if you go back and watch that movie now, the thing that we were totally convinced about couldn't be a shittier special effect. You can see, I mean, it's fine. It's just, it's 1989 special effect. Like, you can see the outline. You can see where the color and the shadows, like, don't quite match.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like, when he's flying around on the hoverboard. But we were just like, when we watched that movie in 1989, we're like, yeah, there's, I mean, it's got to be a real hoverboard, right? Like, you can't possibly fake that. Right. Like, that couldn't look more real when he's flying around in that hoverboard. So,
it's like, if you ever watched, like, Star Wars before they started messing with it.
Yes.
And you see, like, the planes flying, and you're like, I could see the outline of, like, the box.
Yeah.
of where, like, not even just the outline of the plane. Like, I could see where you physically pasted some shit in there.
Yeah.
That is awful.
I'll say one last thing on this.
Yeah.
Hoverboards don't work on water. Unless you got power! Okay.
Who do you blame for this, though? Do you blame Michael J. Fox for allowing us to believe?
I mean, yeah, I guess so. I guess the fault lays squarely on his shoulders.
Yeah.
For giving us hope.
Right.
For believing that these things would come true.
Right.
You know, and then pulling the rug out from underneath us.
Because, I mean, if you run a commercial
mm-hmm.
that says, hey, guess what? Lightsabers? Lightsabers? Yeah.
They're coming.
They're coming. They're going to be out tomorrow.
Yeah.
And they aren't out tomorrow?
Yeah.
I'm going to punch you in the face.
Yeah.
How dare you do that to me?
Yeah.
And that's what he did.
That's what...
Michael J. Fox was part of it.
Yeah.
The whole, like, people signed off on it. And yes, it is for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
But just say, replica shoes.
Right.
Don't say...
The shit works.
Yeah.
Which, admittedly, I don't think at any point they did. I think they merely showed the shoe, and then we're like, huh?
Right.
And all of us were just like, oh, all my dreams and wishes are coming true.
But if you say to me, hey, you know that thing that Luke Skywalker used to fight Darth Vader?
Yeah.
There's going to be one of those.
Yeah.
And you don't say what it is, but then the next day it's like a big metal rock that he threw at him at some point.
Right.
Fuck you. Like, you knew what I was going to believe.
Man, but who could forget that metal rock scene? That was a good one. There are less female TV writers, down significantly. In 2006 and 2007, there were 35% of writers in the industry, in the TV industry, women, down to 15% now. Thoughts, reactions, why is this happening? Why did it seem like, why was there a brief moment in the sun, and now we're sliding back towards a male-dominated TV writing universe?
Fear.
Okay. That's it?
Yeah.
I don't get anything more than that?
Nope.
No.
I think partially it's probably cyclical. I don't think that they're consciously doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also depends on when you were doing the poll, because... do you know when the poll was completed? What dates it was for?
What do you mean? What poll? 2006, 2007, 35%. Currently, 15%.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like,
it's not a big poll. I mean, there's not a ton of TV writers. Like, they can figure it out pretty easily.
Right. No, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you were figuring that math out when, say, Norm Macdonald's show was on and when Sports Dome was on, those are shows that are going to inherently hire mostly men. If even just from the prejudice that men know sports better than women.
Right.
So a show like that, if it's got like six or seven writers, and each of those shows has six or seven writers, is going to throw off the numbers significantly. Mm. So if all of a sudden you lose two or three other girls somewhere else, that number looks different than it did before.
Yeah.
So those show, like, I'll bet once those shows disappeared, the number moved back up a little bit.
I mean, maybe a little bit, but it seems to be that, like, they were saying, like, on writing staffs there were two or three women, and now there's one on, like, pretty much most staffs.
Yeah.
Or none.
Yeah. But you know what else I think that's probably a product of is budgets.
Yeah.
So, and not to say that, like, you fire the women when the budgets go down, but you fire the less senior people when the budgets go down. And if 7 years ago, like,
these are all sort of new writers.
Right.
And now,
right. I'm saying if the trend was that we were hiring more women and then you're like, oh, we got to fire half the writing staff, then yeah, we're going to fire the last right. group of people that we hired. And therefore just the old guys that we originally had.
Mm.
Nobody's got better job security than a middle-aged white guy. 'Cause he has been there his whole fucking life. Wherever he is, he has always been there, and he's the guy that you're going to keep.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a lot of middle-aged white guys, and for writing staffs by middle-aged, I mean like 40.
The number one demo for advertisers is white males age 18 to 49. So other white males age 18 to 49 are going to be best at figuring out what other men of their age and yeah. race want. That is not to say a woman can't do it, or that, you know, another type of person couldn't do it. But obviously, just in a numbers game, those kind of people are going to be best. And that is what television caters towards, is, you know, the number one, and then leave everything else for, I don't know, Lifetime or whatever the fuck. and I'm saying that as I was playing a TV executive for a second. That wasn't what I was saying. But yeah, you know, so.
You know what else I think it partially has to do with?
Mm-hmm.
And when I say partially has to do with, I'm just the lack of writing women in general, is a lot of times, more than I think people realize, is the way that you get a gig writing for a show is the people come to the writers there and say, who do you recommend?
I'm going to say that is probably a neighborhood of 75% in a conservative estimate. The, hey, I know somebody. I right. know a guy. And that is how you get hired.
Right. So if that is the case, then yeah. part of what I think happens is male comedians typically hang out with other male comedians,
mm-hmm.
And a couple of girls. So by default, when somebody says, hey, who do you know?
Right.
You know way more guys than you know women.
Right. Or you submit a list that has four guys and a girl on there, and therefore, you know,
a guy's got a better shot.
Yeah. I mean, if you're just talking about not individuals, but just, you know, if you hire... You have four chances to hire a guy and one chance to hire a girl in there. So, yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, it's also just, I mean, it's just a numbers game because, you know, most comedians are just doughy white men. There's right. just, there's no way around,
and
when no you, way around that
And
fact.
When you think about what's available right now
mm-hmm.
in terms of writing for comedy, yes, there's a lot of writing positions for newer sitcoms that are coming on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also going to change the numbers because if you look at the sitcoms that got picked up, a lot yeah. of them are women heavy.
But see, the thing is, Dustin, and I'm not arguing with you, I think like that is kind of the weird thing, though, that it's like, you know, two bro girls, then there's like 15 writers and there's one female on the mm-hmm. staff. And it's like, why is that?
I don't know what the writing, but I mean,
I don't know either, but
right. I'm saying if you don't include this season's crop of people,
right.
I think that also throws the numbers off because before that, what you're looking at where you're getting a lot of those numbers are the late night shows.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really established shows out there. I mean, even Conan is essentially the Conan O'Brien show.
Right.
Or late night with Conan O'Brien. And everybody just moved with it. There isn't anything that's all of a sudden starting up and saying, hey, here's a bulk of writers other than these sitcoms. So if you're not there now, you ain't getting there.
Mm.
Anyway, let's take our break. We'll come back, and we got a bunch more news.
All right.
Do you have a question or topic you would like to hear the Comedy Nerds discuss? Send us an email to info@thecomedynerds.com or stop by the site and click Contact Us at the top of the page. We look forward to hearing from you at thecomedynerds.com.
All right, and we're back on the Comedy Nerds. Thank you again to Michael Hart. I don't think we've talked about that in a while.
Yeah.
But thank you for that fantastic announcement that you do.
And before I forget, this Friday night.
Oh, God, yes. Thank you for reminding me. How big a douches would we have been if we didn't mention it?
This Friday night, tune in to Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
You will see Comedy Nerds' very own Nick Turner making his TV debut doing stand-up comedy. So check him out.
That's going to be awesome.
I will be.
I can't wait. I got it all set up to record.
Yep. I'll probably be watching it with him because I'm doing his show that night.
Oh, nice. Very cool. That is, I mean, that's super exciting.
Yeah.
Yes, Nick Turner. Just repeating it so people don't miss it. Nick Turner, Jimmy Fallon, this Friday night, September 16th.
Something like that.
Yes, sounds right.
Yeah.
And so it's gonna be awesome. Congrats. Yeah.
Definitely check
and
that.
He's in with the young hip kids. That's the Jimmy Fallon audience. The kids love it. They're all in it. I'm serious.
No, I know. I agree with you.
I think he's got the youngest audience. You know.
Speaking of things the kids love.
Yeah.
Sweaty balls.
Okay. I see
kids
what you did
love
there.
Sweaty balls.
I see what you did there.
That is also new. You probably have heard of it. Uh-huh. Unless you are living under a sweaty balls rock.
Mm-hmm.
Then you... The new flavor of Ben & Jerry's ice cream.
Yes.
Sweaty balls.
Okay.
Your thoughts?
My thoughts are that I'm glad that they're turning SNL sketches into things other than movies. I'll say that. I'm glad there's not a Sweaty Balls movie that would have been made. just an hour and a half of that would have been a little much.
Here is what I love about that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a sketch that happened a long time ago.
Is this a thing that the kids even know happened ever?
Right. Let's say globally.
Yeah.
9 million people know that.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
That ice cream will be available to like 300 million people in the United States.
Yes.
Meaning the vast majority of people who see that ice cream in the store.
Yeah.
Will have no idea what it's referencing.
Yeah.
So they will just see an ice cream.
Called Sweaty Balls.
Called Sweaty Balls. And think, why would I get Sweaty Ball ice cream?
Yeah.
But people are going to buy it. People are going to think to themselves, I think I want to put that in my mouth.
Even something like the Stephen Colbert flavor, right?
You could get that without knowing there's a Stephen Colbert ice cream.
Well, no, I know that. But I'm saying, like, maybe it's like 1 million people watch his show.
Yeah.
Let's say. It's 300 million people in America. But even if you don't watch the show, you probably have heard of Stephen Colbert. So you go, oh, Stephen Colbert ice cream. I don't watch the show, but I am familiar with this person.
Yeah.
And maybe I'll buy it. Maybe I won't, but I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's going to know, I mean, other than a very small select group of people, who are going to go, oh, I remember that SNL sketch from 11 years ago, of course.
Right.
Because I have an encyclopedic knowledge of old SNL sketches.
I'm pretty confident it's more than 11 years ago. I don't know exactly how long it is, but...
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. So that's weird to me. It's awesome.
Specifically, it is vanilla ice cream
with
a hint of rum.
Oh.
And loaded with fudge-covered rum balls and milk chocolate malt balls.
Okay.
So, if you get a lot of it, get wasted. Like, if you eat...
Like, 12...
200 pints of ice cream.
Yeah, you'll get a little drunk.
You will be drunk off your ass at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You will also explode.
Yeah.
You will probably die. You will definitely have diabetes.
You definitely, no matter who you are, you definitely cannot take even that much lactose. And I'm just going to say that. You will immediately start vomiting, probably around like number 10.
Right.
You'll just involuntarily.
But you know the kids are out there thinking, I'm going to get wasted on sweaty balls. And you're not.
Yeah.
All right? You can't have that much.
Okay. So I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yeah,
that,
just go get rum if you want to get wasted. No, actually, kids, don't go get rum.
Yeah.
But
well, no, I mean, of course not. Stand out in front of the liquor store.
Right.
And when you see a particularly seedy person come, ask them to buy you alcohol.
Yeah.
I've always wanted someone to, the kids to do that to me. Mm-hmm. Maybe I like too much of an upstanding individual.
Yeah.
But I always wanted someone to do that to me and then buy them beer.
Yeah.
And then come out and give them the beer, and only too late do they realize I've bought O'Doul's. And then when they're mad about it, I go, "Oh, I don't drink. I'm sorry. I don't know.
Yeah,
I didn't know what I was doing." And then I've just bought them non-alcoholic beer.
I would want to take their money.
Yes.
And just get in my car and leave.
Yeah. Because what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They're not going
to
do shit.
You can't say we tried to illegally buy beer
right.
and that dude
Some
stole our money.
Some guy stole our money.
Right.
Yeah.
I would just straight up steal it.
That's nice. I like that.
And then they'll learn a lesson about life.
Yeah.
That anybody
what would be the lesson?
Anybody who is chatting with you
yeah.
in front of a liquor store
yeah.
is no good.
Okay.
Do not trust that person.
I buy that.
They are out to screw you.
Mm.
So then you will stop trusting people in front of liquor stores.
I guess that's true.
They're lucky I didn't stab them. I could have. I should have.
This is not like a dark alley. You're in front of a lit.
Yeah, no, but
liquor,
if you
people
but,
don't just stab each other at, in front of liquor stores.
No, they can because
oh, they like, you could yeah, stab someone
anything
anywhere.
Within,
sure,
anything within 8 feet
yeah.
of the entrance of a liquor store
yeah.
is the fucking Wild West.
No,
you can do whatever you want.
Really?
Yeah, laws do not apply.
Oh, true.
Yeah, it's, no, it's
even
true.
Outside Nevada.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know.
Yeah, check the law.
I will.
Go look at a law book, and you will see mm-hmm. that you can literally do anything you want in front of a liquor store.
I'm going to do you one better.
Okay.
I'm just going to trust you.
Yes.
I'm not going to look it up. I'll
Thank
just
you.
Say that sounds plausible. That sure.
There's nothing wrong with that logic.
That 8 feet in front of the liquor store is yeah. like open water.
Right.
You're on international waters.
Exactly.
You can do
that's
anything.
How come they're able to sell liquor.
There are no laws. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Even if you're in the liquor store,
yeah.
all the more reason that you could do stuff.
Yeah. Because that's a lot of people don't know that. Prohibition actually never repealed.
Right.
They just made every liquor store a lawless hellscape. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's like Mad Max in there.
Yeah.
You know, there's people driving around on motorcycles whipping chains.
Yeah.
And it's
every
a, it's
that's
a fun
why
time.
If, I don't know if you've ever walked by a liquor
and then you
store,
get some Malibu.
But there are signs that say, enter at your own risk.
Mm.
There is no law here.
Yeah.
Bring a gun. They're big signs, so I don't know how you missed them.
I don't know. I guess I never see them. I guess yeah. I'm always looking at the one that says, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yes.
What?
That's why they have those bright signs of like Jose Cuervo to yeah. distract you from
the lawlessness.
From the lawlessness.
I see.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
There is a Somalian pirate hiding in some liquor store everywhere in the world.
I went in there and Master Blaster was working in there. Shweaty Balls. How do we get from there? From Shweaty Balls? Yeah, Shweaty Balls is a good time. I'll
yes.
say that.
I
want more.
I haven't seen it in the store yet.
I want more ice cream flavors just based off of like obscure, like, you know, $240 worth of pudding.
Yeah.
The ice cream, you know.
Yeah.
That'd
be awesome.
Manservant Hecubus, the ice cream. just really obscure.
Yeah.
Like sketch comedy.
I'm trying to think of that.
References.
Like, of like the from giving like the people on a plane flavored ice cream. Remember when he like
plane.
When he was a cannibal and he ate everybody.
Your Honor, I am not an experienced cannibal. I took a single bite of each person and moved on, hoping the next one would taste better.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no easy way to name
what
that.
What a fantastic sketch. My favorite courtroom sketch. Do you want to know my favorite yeah. Kids in the courtroom sketch? Is the one where Bruce McCall is on trial, and then it turns out that everyone in the jury is one of his ex-girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes to the lawyer. He goes, "You didn't think to ask? Have you ever been fucked over by the defendant?" Hilarious. Okay. What else we got news-wise?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bucky Larson.
This is an uncomfortable topic. For me.
I am going to preface this by saying I enjoy Nick Swartz.
I think he's great.
Yeah.
I really do. On the podcasts that I listen to, he shows up all the time. Fantastic. Love it.
His stand-up?
Stand-up great. The Reno 911.
Yeah.
Appearances.
A little shaky on Pretend Time.
Okay, yeah, but it was good.
Yeah.
It had its moments, certainly. I laughed.
Bucky Larson was... did not do well.
No, it didn't. We can say that. Now, here's the thing. It's a Happy Madison production. So right there, I'm already surprised. Because speaking of niches, it kind of seems like no matter what happens, these movies always do well. And if you don't know, Happy Madison obviously is Adam Sandler's production company. They make these movies that donors
but they
like to go watch.
But granted, they named it after Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
Yeah.
The two movies that did well.
Well,
and
I
then
mean,
if you start moving further away from those movies, their success rate starts to drop. Little Nicky.
I mean, Little Nicky wasn't great. I mean, Waterboy.
Yeah, that's true, Waterboy.
50 First Dates. The one in the 80s, The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, they had some...
So, on Rotten Tomatoes,
yep.
The largest movie rating site in the world.
Sure.
It got a 0%.
0%
from the critics. It got a 34% from people who saw it.
Okay.
So, that is bad.
Yeah, it's not good. I'll say that.
For the weekend, it made $1.4 million.
That sounds like a lot of money, Dustin. I'm going to say $1.4 million. I wouldn't mind $1.4 million.
I'm going to break that math down for you.
All right, break it down.
It was in 1,500 theaters.
Oh, I thought you were going to rap. Okay, keep going.
Yeah.
That's fine. You can
No,
you can
if
do
you
had
dropped
too.
A beat, I might have, but it's too late. Okay. The moments count. It was in 1,500 theaters, which means that it made an average of $943 a theater.
Okay, that's significantly less.
Yes.
But $940, that's not bad.
But that'd be assuming...
I'd make that in a weekend. I'd be very happy to make that in a weekend.
That'd be assuming that it only aired once. But if you assume...
Once.
It's shown once. Yeah. If you assume that it was, say, shown four times...
That's a safe assumption, I would say.
That is $235.
Okay, that's a little... That'd be a rough, you know...
Yeah. Now, if you assume... That each of the people at that movie bought popcorn.
Okay. I don't know where we're going with this, but keep going. I don't think they factor in popcorn.
They don't factor in popcorn, but if you just assume that they factored in popcorn, that would be equal to 10 people going to the movie.
Okay. So 10 people in the theater.
Right. So if I factor out the popcorn, you're talking about roughly 20 people in a movie. Have you ever been in a movie theater with 20 people? I have. And that is statistically equal to no people in a movie theater.
Yeah. Well,
that
depends on the
size of
the
theater. Creepy for fucking everybody in the movie theater.
Well, you sort of imagine that probably at the later show, there was like maybe 40 people.
Yeah.
Meaning that this thing was probably also running to an empty house.
Yeah.
At various points.
Now, as I've said before on the podcast, I saw Spice World in an empty movie theater.
Yeah.
Best thing I've ever done. but... This
Spice World is now like people try to act like it's a cult classic. That movie is horrendously bad.
It was,
and I saw it.
But if nobody's there, and you could make like, you could make like the little shadow puppets, on the movie screen,
It's
fucking
nobody
awesome.
Cares.
So yeah, nobody cares because there was a guy who was like going to yell at us.
Yeah,
but he's like, who are you disturbing?
Yeah,
there's only like three people in the movie theater, and you're all with them.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yes, so it did, and here's the thing. As I started this, I mentioned that I like Nick Swartzen.
Yeah, absolutely.
They could not have come up with a more off-putting promotional campaign if they tried. It made me so uncomfortable and mad the entire time. Never put those two dudes front and center. Ever. Like, because it wasn't Nick Swartzen that was the like the person who you saw in the promo most.
Yeah.
The movie was about him, but it was the other guy with like the weird eye and the and the one who's talking weird. I don't know their names.
I know who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. Those two guys should never, ever be the front and center part of your promotional campaign, especially when they're going to be talking and acting in the most off-putting way they possibly could.
And these are Adam Sandler's like friends who show up in every movie.
Yeah.
Just so the audience knows.
But they show up as the weird person who gets like 10 lines in the movie because it's funny if the person just says a few things, but not if they're your selling point for the movie.
Yeah. It seemed like the... Well, I mean, maybe because I don't watch like TV commercials or something... But I heard a lot today about the bad promotional campaign. I also, for as far as I was concerned, was a non-existent promotional campaign. I only know about this because he was on Doug Benz's podcast, and they mentioned it. I had never heard of this movie before then, and I was surprised to find that it was a Happy Madison production. I thought it was just like some small little, you know, independent thing that he was doing. I was like, oh, good for him. He's starring in his own little movie. Only to find out that, no, it was like a wide release Happy Madison production that I had never heard of until like the day before it opened, and apparently no one else had either. So
Although they were saved because there was actually a movie that came out this weekend. That not only did worse than Bucky Larson, it did worse than every other movie that has ever come out that is opened in 1,500 theaters.
Oh, my God. What is this?
It's a movie called Creature.
Okay.
And it's basically about a creature that haunts people in the woods.
Okay.
It made $331,000 opening in 1,500 theaters.
What?
So it averaged $239
a theater. Okay.
Or roughly $50 a show. So, assuming four showings over the course of a weekend, which is a lie, because most places are going to show any movie that they're going to show more than that.
Right.
So, that movie was the worst opening for any movie that's ever opened that big.
Wow, that's another one I've never
No one's ever heard of it. I don't know how it's a movie.
Then how did it open on 1500?
I don't know.
And no one heard of it.
I have no idea. It was one of those things, like, it was distributed by, like, the guy that owns Universal, but not Universal. Like, one of those things where the guy, like, really believed in it.
Okay,
and
I got you.
Nobody else did.
Yeah.
And everyone else was right.
And he was wrong.
Yeah. Although, I think from what they're saying, like, the budget was, like, they call it, like, a micro budget.
Yeah.
So, I think if it gets to, like, $500,000.
But still, just to release, just to make 1,500 prints.
Yeah.
Cost a lot of money. Serious cash.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, it was saved. Bucky Larson was saved by the fact that that movie exists. And now to our
Nick
West.
Swartzen, good luck next time. I'll say that.
One more story. Jason Schneider.
Okay.
You may or may not have heard of him.
Okay.
If you haven't, he is a comedian working out of the glorious Central Park.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yes. What he's doing, he made some headlines. I believe he was on NPR and a couple other things. He made some headlines by virtue of the fact that he is standing in Central Park with a big sign that says jokes for a dollar.
Okay.
Guaranteed laugh.
All right.
And apparently he made some pretty good cash first couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the press is not hurting his situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was for it. And then I heard the type of jokes that he was telling.
Yes.
The joke that they led with, I believe Splitsider led with this, or Comic, I don't remember which one, was, what do you call Chewbacca when he's working with clay?
I don't know. What do you call him?
Harry Potter.
Man, that's good. That is a good one. I like it.
That is a good one.
Yeah.
When your 75-year-old uncle tells it to you while he's smoking a cigar.
I was going to say when you're seven.
Yeah.
And then you tell that joke. You're like, oh, my God.
Right. If that joke is in the kids section of your local newspaper.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Nailed it.
Right.
You nailed it, local kids section of your newspaper.
But when it's being told by, like, a early 20s up-and-coming comic.
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder.
Here's my problem. Here's my big problem. A dollar?
Yeah.
A dollar. For that joke?
Yeah.
I mean, you can see...
What do you want for a dollar?
You can see a show at UCB for $5, and you're getting more than five jokes.
Right.
You're paying, like, 3 cents a joke, maybe. So, my point is, maybe for a quarter...
But then I gotta go all the way to UCB.
You gotta go all the way to Central Park.
I gotta go to a place under... I gotta sit there for an hour.
Uh-huh.
I have to go under a supermarket.
So you're saying the dollar...
Somebody's gonna yell at me about, like, hey, be quiet in line and stand over here. Whereas this place, I'm already in Central Park.
Right.
I just bought a snow cone.
Okay.
I'm going to visit my friends who were on the other side of the Great Lawn somewhere. I don't know where. I hate it when they do that.
Uh-huh.
And I see this dude, and I was like, hey, I want to laugh because I have a lot of walking to do.
Yeah. And that alleviates the pain of walking is when you have a hilarious joke rattling around in your mind.
Because the whole time you're thinking to yourself, Harry Potter, that's awesome. awesome.
Yeah.
I can't wait to tell my friends that joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I only charge them 50 cents.
Yes.
So now I got, that joke only cost me 50 cents. And then there's elation the whole way. But if I have two friends and I charge them each 50 cents,
mm-hmm.
then I broke even and I get a free joke.
So you're saying is the dollar is more of a convenience charge.
Yeah.
That it's the, you know, if you go to the place to get your flat tire fixed
yeah.
at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, it's $30. If it's 3 a.m. and it's pouring rain outside, all of a sudden, same tire, $150.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Now, my question is this, and this was not clarified in any place.
Yeah.
So we have to obviously get him on the show.
Does he have a joke book that he's just...
No, that was not my question.
Okay.
I'm sure he does.
this terrible joke. Yeah. What? Come on.
My question is this.
Harry Potter.
If I sell you a joke, if I sell you the Harry Potter joke...
Oh, is it yours?
For a dollar. Yeah. Is that your own exclusive joke? Or do you get international rights to that joke?
Yeah.
And nobody else can ever hear it?
In perpetuity.
Yeah.
Or
does he have like 7 jokes... And he is just reselling the shit out of that
joke. So is he selling jokes or is he leasing jokes? Meaning that like you... Like,
well, if you're leasing jokes, that would be like 6 months later,
come back with a joke.
And unhear that joke.
Well, what I mean though is that is he... When you give him a dollar and he gives you a joke, can he not give that joke to anyone else? Or like the moment you walk away, you're out of earshot, he's like, by the way, I got this one about Chewbacca doing some fucking clay thing that you're just going to slay it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, if he's just pumping them out by volume, I'm going to let the Harry Potter thing slide.
Yeah.
But if not, that is...
Right. If it's 100% exclusive jokes and the Harry Potter joke is an entirely original just for that one person.
Right.
Then, yeah, of course. But I guess the other part is this.
Yeah.
Because I read that and I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
75-year-old uncle joke.
Sure.
Problem is, if somebody told me, tell me a joke for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like, okay, sit down. Give me a couple of minutes because
yeah.
all of my jokes here are set up and I want to go through this whole thing. And they're going to be like, yeah, I'm in Central Park.
Right.
If you don't tell me the joke in 15 seconds, I'm going to go.
Okay.
I don't have any 15-second jokes. It's cost me in some comedy competitions when you only have a minute to tell your joke.
I gotcha.
I need to come up with a couple of good 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
But
you try this Harry Potter thing.
Yeah,
that seems to be working.
Right, but I have to pay the guy a dollar so I can get the rights to it.
I'll say this: what do you call the Colonel on MASH when he turns into a werewolf?
What?
Harry Potter. And I'm gonna throw that out there and say that you just literally just go through anything and be like, all right, I'm gonna make a pun out of that thing, and then just be like, that's a dollar. A dollar. I'm still hung up on the dollar thing. A dollar is too much money for a joke.
Really?
For that level of joke. If it was like a hilarious joke that I was like a knee slapping and I got to tell everybody.
A dollar is like the minimum you could pay for anything.
I would pay a dollar. No, you could pay a quarter. In elementary school, I would pay a dollar for a book that had 100 jokes like that. Like 100 pickle jokes. And I'd be like, each pickle joke was funnier than the last.
You bought a pickle joke book?
I think so. I think at one point I bought like 100 vampire jokes. It was like a dollar. I was like, you know, the book fair would come to town.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And you would go and you would buy like, you'd buy a, you know, choose your own adventure. And you'd buy
I gotcha.
You'd buy the novelization of Back to the Future 2, as you do.
For some reason, I was picturing you going into like a full-on Barnes & Noble
yeah.
with thousands of books and just going right to like, oh, a lot of jokes about pickles.
Oh, 100 pickle jokes.
I know that there's like 700,000 other books here.
Yeah.
But I need more pickle jokes.
I mean, maybe. What if I was going to go in Central Park and tell jokes for a dollar? Think about that. Think about that for a second.
You should still not buy the one with only pickles. Because at some point, somebody's going to be sitting there, like on a blanket, near where you're selling the jokes. And they're going to be like, dude, enough with the fucking pickle jokes.
The pickle jokes.
Jesus Christ, come on, man.
Yeah.
Are you just living with pickles all the time?
Uh-huh.
And then they're going to call you out, and you're going to be like, well, it's because I bought this pickle joke book. And they're going to be like, then these aren't your fucking jokes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, now you need to cut a check back to the pickle writing joke guy. Because you don't own that shit. That's his intellectual property.
That's fair.
So... Yeah, but lawyers are going to get involved, is what I'm saying. Is that you need to sign waivers There's a lot more to it. Otherwise, everybody would be in the park selling pickle jokes.
I'm going to say a good 60% of the punchlines to those jokes are probably involve the word gherkin, because that is a funny word.
But you know what? I will bet that that if they were selling that book in your elementary school, yeah, then none of them involved the word gherkin. Because that's how you get fired from book writing for little kids. Because you can't.
Gherkin is a pickle word. You can say gherkin.
I know, but how do you explain what, like, tell
me. I'm not saying it'd be like, what was the pickle doing in his bedroom? Gherkin off. I'm not saying that.
Okay,
I'm just saying, like,
tell me a clean joke that includes
the word
gherkin.
I don't know. I don't write pickle jokes. I'm just saying that gherkin's a funny word. Because nine times out of ten, those jokes, like, barely, even like Harry Potter, that doesn't make sense. Why would Chewbacca be making a pot out of clay? That doesn't make any. It's just like, oh, because Harry Potter, like, yeah. So what I'm trying to say is that it's
what's
just
he gonna
a
make
funny
a,
word. It's just a funny word, gherkin.
What's he going to make a pot out of?
What do you mean? What? Clay?
Yeah.
No, what I'm saying, why would Chewbacca be doing that? That doesn't make any sense. He probably doesn't even, he doesn't really have hands. Like, how's he gonna?
He has hands.
I don't know if he has hands. Listen, I guess he has hands.
He can shoot a blaster.
Oh yeah, I guess he does fix that.
Yeah,
but it still seems like the fur is gonna get in the way.
If he could fix a spaceship,
right?
He could make a bowl.
Right, he could make it, but you know. Why would he? And also,
but you just don't think he's refined enough to make pottery.
Also, what do you call Chewbacca when he's making a thing out of clay? A potter. Because that's what they're called. Nobody's going to be like, oh, a hairy potter. Like, yeah, he's hairy. He's Chewbacca. We get
yeah.
it. We know that.
Except Dan McInerney.
Yeah.
Because he is very hairy
mm-hmm.
and he is dealing with clay.
Okay.
There is a good chance yeah. that hair will ultimately get into the pot.
Okay.
And therefore, the pot will become very hairy.
Yeah.
And somebody will be like, hey, who made this? This
yeah.
must be a. This must have been made by a very hairy potter.
I'm going to say this. Here's a dollar.
Thank you.
You did it. You cracked it. Follow us on Twitter. Go to our Facebook page and become a fan of us.
Yeah.
Go to thecomedynerds.com for all your comedy nerds needs. Watch Nick Turner on Jimmy Fallon
yeah.
on Friday. Anything else we need to...
Plug, no, I think we're
talk
good.
Talk about. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Dusty Adano.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks a lot for listening.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to The Comedy Nerds. If you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@thecomedynerds.com. Check out our website at thecomedynerds.com where you can comment on any past episodes. And if you enjoyed this show, please write a review in iTunes and tell the world how awesome we are. For Dustin and myself, thank you for listening.